We are in a new series that we're calling Reset. You have a reset button on your computer, you have reset buttons on your phone, all your electronics. They allow you to power down, and that powering down resets your device to its optimal function. My mom, she's challenged technologically. Her technology area is challenged as well as electronically, and so whenever we get together, usually around the holidays, she always has a project or an issue that she wants me to look at with her phone. And I'm not the best person to do that, but I want to help, so I say, sure, let me look at it. Well, this time, this Christmas, we were down there, and yes, she had a problem with her phone, so my brother and I were looking at it, and looked at it for about a half hour, got it fixed, and handed it back to her, and you would think that the world fell apart, World War III just began, and she's like, what did you do to my phone? What did you do? And I'm like, what do you mean, what did I do? I fixed it, just like you asked. She said, no, look at my messages, because she doesn't use it for a lot of stuff other than messages. And she said, look at my messages. There's no names there. All the names have been replaced with phone numbers, and I don't know who is talking to me. And I'm like, well, let me see it. I can fix it. You know, Now I told her I could fix it, and I'm not sure I can fix it, and I'm looking, and like my brother and I are trying to fix this, 45 minutes. My niece walks in, about 21 years old, 22. She walks in, she says, what's going on? I said, oh, grandma's phone's all jacked up. She says, let me see it. So she has it for about a minute or two, and then she throws it back. She says, here you go, it's fixed. I'm like, what did you do? She said, I just powered it down. If you have a problem or a glitch, you power it down, it resets it. And sometimes I think our lives function that way. We get into a lifestyle that limits our connectivity with God. We get into a lifestyle, it might be an attitude, it might be something, a behavior of some kind, that we've allowed for a period of time, and it's caused a glitch. It's not that we're not working properly, it's that we're not working optimally with God. We're not connected to the best extent. We've got these things. It's just like we can allow anger to get inside and we start living with it. And before long, that anger hurts our connection with God. Because Jesus says you can't hate your brother and be forgiven. You can't say I hate you and then tell God I love you. And so we live with these issues, and sometimes I think that our lives need to be reset. Better than that, I think our spirits need to be reset. And that's what we're looking at. In this series, we're going to be looking at different things like prayer and solitude and generosity and how these things actually work to reset us and to connect us in a greater way to God, which is why we're here. Today, though, today is one of those talks where I feel like I'm dragging it through mud, so you probably have a lot of questions, hopefully not. We're going to be looking at fasting. Which I know it's not a popular subject. I know you didn't come here going, man, I just hope Dave talks about fasting. That would be awesome. I get that. But we're beginning a 21-day fast here at the church. We do it every year, first of the year. It's important to us about starting the new year off right, but also with connection and intentionality. We want to connect with God, and we want God to do something powerful in us. Whenever we do this, God always works, and you know, he deals with people in different ways, and it's always significant. So we have a couple of individuals on video that I want you to hear from how God's worked in them through this fast. So watch the video. You may not have even thought about fasting or joining us in the fast, and that's up to you. We're not trying to tell you what to do, but if you do want to, there's a couple of things that are available for you in the lobby, and that is... we're doing this fast with many other churches in the Fresno area. It's a way of unifying us together, praying for the same thing. And if you'd like to pick up one of these or either of these are guidelines as well as scriptural references about fasting and all that. If it helps you understand, they're available in the lobby. So just want to make that available to you. Listen, you know what? When it comes to fasting, nobody wants to be hungry because most people are angry when they get hungry. Am I right? I mean, when you're hungry... They call it you're hangry, right? You're hungry and angry at the same time. And the truth is, you're not yourself when you're hungry. I mean, we've all seen the commercials that tell us you're not yourself when you're hungry. And just watch this commercial really quick. Listen, you're not you when you're hungry. That's the truth. Most of us really struggle with that to some degree. And if you, listen, you need to be aware of that going into a fast if you're going to actually fast this year, these 21 days, because you've got to be paying attention to how you're, it's not fair to just come across as angry all the time. That's not the goal of this. I want to begin with a question. Have you ever felt spiritually apathetic? Have you ever felt spiritually inconsistent or maybe spiritually stuck or maybe it's just dry? Maybe like your prayers are not being heard or answered or you feel like something is missing. Something's just not right spiritually. Here's what I would encourage you. If you're feeling that, this might be a time to reset your spiritual life. This might be a time to have a greater connection with God. This might be a time to let God do something new in you. That's up to you, but I would encourage it. We're going to be looking at what this fasting is all about. Why is it so important? Why is it significant in our lives? I want to start with a definition because we all want to be on the same page. What is fasting all about? A biblical definition is basically this: voluntarily abstaining from food and or liquids for a period of time. That's the biblical definition. That's what the Bible would refer to as what fasting is: voluntarily abstaining from food and or liquids for a period of time. So in our case, it's 21 days, unless God leads you to do something shorter or longer. That's up to you, between you and Him. Another definition of sorts is this: shifting our appetite from here to Him. I really like this one because this becomes one of those things where when you start looking at what is fasting, it's about shifting our appetite from this world, what I want, shifting that appetite to Him. Here's one of the things about fasting, though. The doctors, there's many health benefits for fasting. And if you go to the doctors will give you many reasons why fasting is good for you and what it can do for you, just from a fasting standpoint. But when it comes to spiritual lives and a connection with God, prayer always is associated with fasting. Prayer is always associated with fasting in a biblical sense. It may not be when you go to your doctor, he's not going to say, well, you know what, you need to pray and fast. He's not going to say that. He's just going to say fasting is good for you. Fasting has these benefits. But from a spiritual standpoint, you will always find prayer associated with fasting. Here's the goal of fasting. And that is simply this: to draw near to God. Fasting is one of these disciplines that we can do, and the goal of it really has a great impact in our lives that allows us to connect and draw nearer to God. It's not about getting what we want. Hear me say that. I want to repeat it. Fasting is not about getting what you want. It's not about showing God how serious you are. Look, God, look at what I'm giving up and look at how long I'm giving it up. I want you to know I'm serious about this. I'm serious about you. It's not about proving to God anything like that. A fast is not something that we offer to God, but the discipline of offering ourselves. Get that. Because a lot of times we think we're going to impress God with our fast. A lot of times, and then that becomes something like, you know what? I want God to see how much I love Him. I want God to see how serious I am about Him. I want God to really take recognition of what I'm doing as if what I'm doing is something really great. And this is not about proving to God anything. Fasting is a discipline of offering ourselves. And whenever you get to a place where you're going to offer yourself to God, it is always draws us to humility. Not about showing off, not about seeking recognition. So let me tell you what fasting is not. Fasting is not punishing yourself because Jesus wants you to suffer. Jesus never said that, and that's not what fasting is about. But I will tell you this, and I want you to hear me, and that the heart behind it. Fasting should challenge us. It should not be easy. A lot of times what we do is we say, you know what, that's too difficult for me. I'm not going to do that. Or we say, you know what, that's just too much, too big. Fasting should be a challenge. And a lot of times we don't take the challenge because we think it's too much. And a lot of times God calls us to something that we really do need to deal with because it has become so big in our lives. The Bible talks about different kinds of fasts. I want to just mention a few of them so that you can understand what the fasts are. First of all, there's a complete fast, and that is where you have no food. All you have is liquids, basically water. That is the fast I'm doing this year. And trust me, I didn't sign up for that. I didn't ask to do that. That's just something God put on my heart. If you guys want to join me in that kind of a fast, I would recommend, I don't know if you have health issues, but if you do have health issues, make sure that you get checked by a doctor before you do that. If you feel like that's something God's leading you to, it'd be great to have an accountability person with, you know, because we need encouragement and things like that. But there's a complete fast where all you do, no food intake, just liquids. Then there's a selective fast, and maybe you might know this as a Daniel fast, where you only eat certain foods. You eliminate some foods, like maybe you would only take in vegetables and vegetable juices, but you won't take in any kind of proteins for a period of time. Then there is a partial fast, and this is like a Jewish fast, which they would fast from. They would fast the morning and afternoon meals, but they would eat in the evenings. All these are just what, these are ways of fasting that the Bible talks about. In our culture, they've kind of come up with this soul fast, okay? And I don't mean this in a diminishing way. But they made fasting about staying away from television and staying away from social media, which has benefits, and it's good. And if that's where you want, I mean, maybe you're new to fasting, and that would be a great place to start. Or maybe you have health issues, and that is the only way that you could do it. I'm not diminishing them. I am saying this. Don't give up something just because it's easy to give up. That's not the idea of what fasting is about. Fasting has been a discipline in the Old Testament. It's a discipline in the New Testament. We see it in the life of Jesus. We see it in Jesus' disciples. We see it in the life of Paul, in the Pauline epistles. We see it in the early church. And yet it seems to be a lost art in our world today and in the modern church. It's almost as if we're not willing to have that kind of discipline in our lives. I want to look at an encounter that Jesus had. And in this encounter that Jesus has, he identifies two problems that I think are alive in the world today, just like they were then. And not only that, I hate to admit it, but they're alive in my life. Two problems, I think they're alive in my life, and I think they're alive in all of us to some degree. Maybe not some of you. But here's how it goes. Jesus and his disciples are walking, and it says, when they came to the crowd, a man approached Jesus and knelt before him. And the man said, Lord, have mercy on my son, he said. He has seizures and is suffering greatly, and he often falls into the fire or into the water. And I brought him to your disciples, but they could not heal him. Okay, now get this. Jesus had already given authority to the disciples, and his followers had the authority to heal just like Jesus heals. I don't know if you're aware of this, but as a follower of Jesus, you have the authority to heal just like Jesus heals, because we don't heal in our own means. We heal through Jesus and through his name. And the disciples find themselves in that same boat, and this is something new to them. And they're walking out and praying for people, and people are being healed. And they get to this one individual, and they're praying for it, and all of a sudden they're stumped. This guy, nothing happens. It goes on. Jesus says this, you unbelieving and perverse generation, Jesus replied. How long shall I stay with you? How long shall I put up with you? Bring the boy here. Jesus rebuked the demon, and it came out of the boy, and he was healed at that moment. And Jesus uses two words that, man, I wish he wouldn't have used, okay? I really do. Because he looks at the people, and he addresses two problems, and that is they are unbelieving and perverse, which sounds really strict. It sounds like he's upset with them or something. And he calls them unbelieving and perverse. And so here's the idea. I want to identify what he's saying there. First of all, unbelieving is this, not connected to God. When he calls people unbelieving, he's saying your connection with God is lacking. It's not that they had no connection with God. It's just that what they had was not a connection that produced a life full of faith. What they had was lacking in some area. They had maybe become doubters. And it's not, again, like it's not that they don't have this connection with God. It's just not enough to produce faith. And maybe that was because they're not spending time with God. Maybe it's because they're not getting into his word. But our connection, a lot of times, is not enough to fill us with the faith that we need. And we end up being lacking. It is an unbelieving aspect of our lives. But then he identifies another problem and he calls them perverse. And here's what he means by perverse. He says this. I mean, the perverse means this: too connected to the world. So when he says you're unbelieving, you're not connected enough to God, and perverse is too connected to the world. And we get involved in things in our lives that dilute and pollute our connection or relationship with God. I you know what? If we're going to be honest, don't we allow this to happen all the time? I know I do. I have this great connection with God, and I mean, everything's going really good, and then I get busy or distracted, and I find myself way over here. And before long, I realize, holy smokes, my relationship with God is like, it needs more attention, so I'm back over here. And I do this for a while, and then I get distracted, and that tends to be how a lot of us function. I don't want to tell you, it's not my job or my responsibility to tell you what is not connected to God, what that looks like. It's not my job or my responsibility to tell you what is too connected to the world. That is the Holy Spirit's job for your life. I know what it is for my life. But you have to ask God, and you have to ask the Holy Spirit, some really important questions and not be flippant about it. Before we get to those questions, let me say this. Though it's not my responsibility to tell you what is not connected enough to God and what that looks like, or maybe what is too connected to the world, here's what I do know. God has called each of us to be holy. And what holy means is set apart, belonging only to Him. Not riding the fence spiritually, not with one foot over here, not asking the questions, how much can I get away with and still have a relationship with God? I'd be real, okay? How much can I really get away with? What does God really want? I'll tell you what God really wants. God wants all of you, 100%. Not 50, not 25, not 75. He's not bargaining. He wants all of us. And He's called us all to be fully His. 1 Peter says this: for you are God's, you are chosen people, you are a royal priest, a holy nation, God's very own possession. That's who you are. So He doesn't want one foot in the world and one foot out. We need to ask God some questions like, Lord, is there a place that I'm not connected enough to you? Is there something in my life I'm not giving over to you? Lord, am I involved in anything that connects me too much to this world that doesn't please you? God, is my relationship with you what it should be? Is my relationship with you, God, what you want it to be? Not what I see, remember, we don't get to define our relationship with God. God defines our relationship with us. And we have to ask the question, God, does my relationship with you, is it what you want it to be? He's not mad. He just wants all of you, because in having all of you, you then have the life that He designed you to live. All of your needs met. And you listen, He's going to point out to you things, He does it to me all the time, of things that need to get weeded out. Jesus doesn't just identify a problem, He also gives two solutions, and I want to read those. It goes on to say, then the disciples came to Jesus in private because they were embarrassed. Here they had been praying for this individual and nothing happened, so I'm sure they're embarrassed. He says, the disciples say, why couldn't we have driven it out? And they replied, because you have so little faith. Truly I tell you, if you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can say to the mountain, move from here to there, and it will move. Nothing will be impossible for you. In other words, whatever the challenge is that you have in your life, God is greater than those challenges. Whatever the mountains are that you face, faith is the key, trusting God. It's the connection issue. Then Jesus adds this one line. He says, but this kind does not come out except by prayer and fasting. In other words, it's more than just faith. This is a result of prayer and fasting. Now remember, he has these two problems, and then he gives these two solutions, and I want to look at how these solutions deal with the problems. First of all, what prayer does. Prayer connects us to God. Doesn't take a rock scientist to figure that out. Prayer connects us to God, and it deals with our unbelieving issue that we all have. It brings us closer to God. See, the more time we spend with God, the more our faith is going to grow. The more time you spend with something or someone, the more confidence you have in them. And we have confidence in God because we get to know him and we spend time with him. But listen, don't ever look at this prayer thing as an issue of, hey, God's asking me to put my hours in. God's not asking us to put our hours in. God wants to spend time with us. He wants us to trust him. He wants us to have confidence in him. And that comes through this connecting with God. If you're ever going to deal with this unbelieving part in you, we all have it. The way that that's dealt with is prayer. Prayer connects us to God. This is one of those things that I neglect, and I have to reset my life at least six times a year. At least six times, because I get that relationship with God. My prayer life is going really good, and then all of a sudden I get distracted, and I'm busy, and I'm over here, and I'm dealing with people or whatever. And all of a sudden I realize, holy smokes, I got to deal with this relationship, and I have to reset it all the time. I know you do too. Prayer connects us to God. But here's the other issue that he addresses. Fasting disconnects us from the world. Fasting disconnects us from the world. See, sometimes we need to disconnect from things that we see as important, things that we see as essential for something that God says is more important, something that God says is more essential. Do you get that? You understand what I'm saying there? Because here's the thing. A lot of times we think we've got it all figured out, and we think, you know, this is important. This is what we need to do. And God says, that's not important. I'm important. My relationship with you is important. And sometimes we have to give up this so that we have more opportunity for this. Sometimes we have to give up this because it flies in the face and value to what this is. This whole idea of fasting is disconnecting from something for a season, for a period of time, because it's become too important to us. And there are times that we have to intentionally disconnect from the world. We know scriptures like Romans 12 tells us, do not be conformed to this world. 1 John 2 says, do not love this world nor the things that it offers you, for when you love the world, you do not have the love of the Father in you. There are times that we have to disconnect intentionally from the world, because if we don't disconnect, we will become like it. And we're supposed to be different. Remember, Jesus is pointing out the problem, and he's saying, the problem is this is a connection problem. And the solution is a connecting solution. And what fasting does is it brings our appetites and our desires into submission so that we can connect with God as he designed. See, we know if our appetites and our lusts and our desires, if they're given free rein, if we just don't have them in check at all, it's going to pollute and dilute our relationship with God. It's going to interfere with that. Paul says it this way. He says, I discipline my body like an athlete, training it to do what it should. Otherwise, I fear that after preaching to others, I myself might be disqualified. And I don't know if you understand that, but man, if you ever play football and you have two-a-days and you have to get up early in the morning when you are sore, and the very last thing in the world you want to do is get out of bed in the morning and go and hit somebody in football practice or go and lift weights, and every ounce of you says, stay in bed. This is where, Dave, we want to be, is right here in bed. And we have to mentally be able to say, you know what? The goal is more important than the feeling or desire that I want, and I've got to get out of bed, and I've got to do this. Listen, it is not easy. Fasting's not easy. Giving up what we love or what makes us so comfortable is not easy, but it is necessary. People have different beliefs about this, okay? Let me explain. A tree has a physical body, that's it. An animal has a physical body and emotions. Some have different feelings about this. Some would say that people are made up of body and soul. Other people say that we're made up of body and spirit. Some people, like myself, I feel like we are body, soul, and spirit. It doesn't matter. Wherever you're at, here's what I want you to hear. Within us, we have will and desire and lust that have to be in check. And if those will, desires, and lust are not in check, they will rule our spiritual man. That's what Romans talks about in Romans 8. If we do not keep them in check, right now, at this moment, either your soul or your spirit is the strongest in your life. And whatever is the strongest will dominate the others. So at this moment, if your soul is stronger, that means it's going to dominate your spirit. It's going to satisfy itself before your spirit man can be satisfied. Fasting weakens our fleshly desires. We all have them. Fasting weakens our emotional wills that we all get stuck in. Fasting weakens those things in my flesh, and it strengthens my spirit. And a stronger spirit produces greater faith. And that is what God is asking of us all along. That's what he addressed in this story is, listen, you're unbelieving and perverse because you're not connected enough here and you're too connected enough here. And the remedy is simple. Pray and fast for greater faith, greater connection. You can be seated for just a moment. We want to wrap up our time together. Listen, we sing a song like that and it says, till all I am is yours. But I guarantee you one thing. When you do a fast, there will come a point when every ounce of you will cry out, anything but this. When deep within you're saying, the last thing in the world I want is to do this. And our flesh just cries out because our flesh always wants to be satisfied. And it's spoiled. We satisfy our flesh all the time. And it needs to be kept in check. So I want to give you just some really quick practical things. It's going to be like 5 minutes, all right? Because I know you've been here long enough. Let me give you some practical things. First thing to do is set an objective. Establish your purpose in your fast. Ask God, God, what is it that I'm doing? What is it that you want from me in this fast? Be prepared. Here's five things that really work for me. In fasting, I declare my dependence on God. Say, listen, God, my life is not about me. My life is about dependence on you completely. In fasting, I ask God for forgiveness because forgiveness calls me to live in humility. Not just accepting forgiveness from God, but also extending forgiveness to others. So I ask for forgiveness. In fasting, I refocus on the eternal because everything in my flesh is focused on what is temporary and what satisfies me, what is immediate and what is around me at this moment. Our spirit man needs to be refocused on what is eternal, and fasting helps us to do that. In fasting, I also invite the presence of God into my life on a daily basis. And the last one is I believe God for specific needs. Continually believing God for specific things that I'm praying about and talking to God about. So we set an objective and then we decide what kind of fast you're going to do. And I gave you the list. Listen, I don't want you to go, oh, well, Dave's doing an absolute fast, so I need to do something like that. No, listen, you need to pray and ask God, what is he wanting you to give up? If in fact he is. It might be TV or social media. It might be breakfast. It might be lunch. Or it might be dinner. Or it might be two of them. Decide what kind of fast you're going to do. And then the last one is expect results. Because I guarantee you one thing. When you put yourself in a place where you put what God wants is more important than what you want. When you put yourself in a place where you are focused more on what God is asking and that connection with him, you're going to get results. But it's not about those results. It's about our connection problem. So if you'd close your eyes for just a moment, I want to pray for you. I want to pray with you. I'm sorry. I apologize. I went long. If you're here today, our problem is a connection problem. Maybe you're here and you realize, you know what? I don't even have a connection with God. I don't have a relationship with God. That can get resolved just by talking to him this morning. Say, God, you know what? Listen, I'm giving you myself because I am not the one that needs to be in charge. I want you to be in charge. And I give myself to you. Begin that relationship. God wants to give you a fresh start, a new beginning. And it comes with coming clean to Him and saying, God, I've screwed things up. Or maybe you've had a connection with God, but it just hasn't been enough. You've been avoiding it, been neglecting it. You have a connection with God, but it doesn't fill you with faith. And the whole idea of this unbelieving issue, you're like, wow, that really does hit me. Or maybe it is the perverse side that says, I'm too connected to the world. Wherever you're at, God's just waiting for you. I want to pray with you. Father, you see our hearts and you know exactly where we're at. And there's some that need a relationship while others of us need a greater connection with you. We've been avoiding it or neglecting it. Father, there's we're too connected to the world. And we've allowed things into our lives that's diluted and polluted our relationship with you. And then we wonder why we don't have faith, and we wonder why our emotions take control. We wonder why we can't keep our cravings under control because our spirit man is just suffering. Father, you created us to live dependently on you, that we would rely upon you. And today, for those that need a relationship, I ask that you would begin that. And for those of us that need a greater connection and a greater disconnection from the world, Father, I pray that you would help us to take those steps. But Father, most of all, we're asking for this connection problem. We want to draw nearer. And I know that those that are going to take steps in this fast, these next 3 weeks, are going to need strength and encouragement, and I pray that you would give them that strength and encouragement. Not just for the journey ahead, but Father, for the encounters with you ahead. Because that's why we're here. Father, we want to draw near to you. We ask these things in your name and in your love for our lives. Amen.